coming to you daily
from the heart of Beijing.
We are
FM Lifestyle.
Keeping our finger on the pulse of everything creative
that is happening in China's greatest metropolis and beyond.
Painting,
filming,
cooking,
building,
flying in the sky,
or diving in the ocean.
The most interesting people in the city
are all going to be our guests.
Tune in daily
to FM Lifestyle.
Hello and welcome to FM Lifestyle. This is Gail. On a smoggy day when the air is heavy and the city is engulfed in a brownish-grayish veil, you sit in a taxi, crawling slowly in the endless traffic jam that is the second, third, or fourth ring road, looking out the window at the swarms of people hastily making their way to or from somewhere. How you wish right now that you can be someplace quiet with few people around, sitting in the tall green grass, having a fresh peach or pear, tall green mountains surrounding you instead of skyscrapers, maybe a snowy peak or two, the sound of birds and little streams of water. A vacation? Now? Go to Yunnan. Go to Inner Mongolia? No time. Gotta work. But what about a day trip? What about 1 hour drive outside the Fourth Ring Road into the hilly slopes of Huairou District, the tall mountains of Mentougou, the cool karst caves of Fangshan District, or the flat green farmland of Pinghu Suburb? Yes, it's all out there, all within reach. You just need to know the right people who will tell you where to go, or even better, take you there. They've been taking people to hike and trek around Beijing for almost 20 years. They know every trail and every mountain, where you can stop for a picnic with a view or take a dip in the river. They are Beijing Hikers. Meet Hayden Opie, marketing manager and hiking guide with Beijing Hikers.
My name is Hayden. I'm from New Zealand, and in Beijing I work for Beijing Hikers. I've been full-time with the company more or less 10 years. Most of my work is in the office, but I do one or two hikes a week. So I think over 10 or so years, I've done a lot of hiking around Beijing.
I've been in China since 2003, and when I moved to Beijing, I already heard about this company.
Yep. Beijing Hikers has been in operation since about 2001. Back then, the company was being organized by Sun Huilin, and she and her husband started it off. She worked at one of the international schools, and it started with her taking her colleagues out for hikes. Like, she'd go out adventuring by herself, and she'd come back to school with tales of what was out there in the mountains, and all the teachers said, I want to go too. And from there, it kind of turned into a bit of a business for her. So she was running it until 2003, and then her sister, Hui Jie, took over, and Hui Jie has been in charge ever since. I started working for them around about 2007. I started off as a hiker myself, then I helped them fix up their website, and I got more involved after that. I got married to Hui Jie, so she's the big boss, and I'm kind of the little boss.
You said that back then when they were coming back from the tours, other people were very excited. And this is because in 2003, 4, 5, 6, experts who live in Beijing thought the furthest away we can venture was the Summer Palace and the Fragrant Hills. We couldn't get out there to the suburbs. What was difficult back then?
So back then, the difficult part, it seemed like it was difficult to do that kind of thing if you couldn't speak Chinese. And a lot of the people working in Beijing in that time didn't have a good grasp of Chinese language, which made it difficult. There's also not a lot of information in English about where you can go hiking. Back then, there wasn't hardly any at all. Now there's a bit, but not too much.
We are talking about out there, out there, out there. When I come back from out there on the weekends and I show even my Chinese colleagues pictures of waterfalls, rivers, lakes, they are asking, is this outside of the city? What is out there 1.5 hour drive out of the city?
There's actually a lot outside Beijing. It's a good place for hiking, I think. Like if you drive maybe 1.5, 2 hours, you can get quite far into the mountains. And there's a lot of great scenery out there. Like you say, waterfalls, rivers, mountains. There's the Great Wall, of course, but there's a lot more than just the Great Wall up there in the mountains.
So Beijing Hikers will take me where? You'll take me to the Great Wall? I've been there.
So the Great Wall is popular with people who are visiting Beijing, or if you've just come to Beijing, you have to see the Great Wall. But as well as that, you can see a lot of mountain scenery. Like one of my favorite hikes out in the west is the Huangshaoliang. It translates as the Yellow Grass Plateau. And that's an area, it's a plateau that's around about 1,500 meters above sea level. So it's called yellow grass because in autumn, all the grass up there turns yellow. It's like kind of a sea of yellow. There's a lot of meadows up there and really nice views of the surrounding mountains.
So now we all have smartphones and we all have online maps, digital maps, but it's still not that easy to travel out to the suburbs. What are the challenges now?
It's not super easy. Well, you've got maps and everything, but there's not a lot of trail infrastructure if you're not on the Great Wall. So you need to know where the trails are, you need to know where to start, where to finish. It also helps to have some local knowledge of the area too. Local knowledge is like the time of year you can go hiking. At some time of the year, it's fire prevention season. So if you might go out hiking, get to the start of the hike, and there are guys out there that say, sorry, you can't go hiking. It's fire prevention season. The access to the mountains is shut down. So that makes it difficult. You got to know about that. And we've, over the years, made local contacts. So before we go hiking, we call them up and say it's cool to go hiking, right? And they say yes or no, and we make sure that we don't drive out all that way and get stopped. So other obstacles, well, it's sort of other local situations like that. I got some stories about it. There's a bit of a hiking community in Beijing, and I've heard stories from other groups. I like getting the gossip because then you can kind of think about trying to avoid that situation yourself. So I've heard some pretty interesting stories about that kind of thing. Like, say you're out on a hike and you're walking through some farmland to finish, and you see some nice apricots on a tree, then you think, hey, that might be quite nice, and you pick one. But the farmers get mad with hikers coming through and taking their crops because it's their source of income. Like, they grow these things all year, they sell them at harvest time, and that's kind of their money for the year. So they get kind of mad if hikers come through and take it. So the story I heard from one of the other groups is that they got caught by the farmers. The others all finished the hike, and they think, hey, what's happened to, what's her name? And they call her up, and she's like, yeah, I'm at the farmer's house, he won't let me go unless I pay all this money. So they had to go back and take some money and kind of bail her out of it. So I've got colleagues that are pretty, you know, I've hiked with them before, and they're saying, make sure you tell everyone, don't pick any fruit. And I was thinking, well, okay, doesn't seem that serious, but it can be quite serious. Other situations with fire wardens. So we try to keep good relationships with fire wardens and those kind of people because you want to keep hiking in the same area. Other groups I've heard take a more adversarial kind of approach to it, and they just kind of rush past. So one time they rushed past, but the fire wardens knew where they were going hiking, so they're waiting for them at the end of the trail. They got in quite a bit of trouble there. So they stopped them at a village where they were going to walk out from, and they ended up having to pay, I guess, fines or quite a bit of money to get escorted out of there. So again, when we're organizing hikes, we try to stay on the good side of locals because we're walking through their farmland and everything like that. So we try to bring some kind of benefit to them. So when we're doing hikes out there, we work with local people, we employ them to help clear the trail, chop all the trees back, and employ them as local guides and keep good relationship like that. So they're happy to see us out hiking instead of getting mad with us.
Beijing is also the capital, and we are hiking pretty close to the capital, talking about an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. And when we have official visits, when we have people coming over, when we had the APEC convention, yep, that was hosted in the suburbs, that's not a good time for hiking. And you know that.
It's kind of difficult to go hiking around those times because you think the officials are all visiting, the weather's going to be amazing, like you get APEC blue and that kind of thing. It's going to be great for hiking, but then at the same time, the countryside kind of gets shut down just to make sure no fires start at a bad time, no bad publicity or bad news during the meetings. So you can kind of go out there and find out that it's not okay to hike.
So these are things that are sensitivity to local habits, local customs, also local rules and regulations, and also because hiking here is a relatively new thing in China. Back home, you and I, coming from countries, you put your sleeping bag on your back, you build some fire in the evening, you cook in the wild. That's not how hiking is done in China. What do we need to know?
Especially in Beijing, the main difference from maybe hiking overseas is that there's no water anywhere. So if you're doing multi-day hikes, you need to carry all the water with you. With there being no water, it gets really dry, and that means you can't really light fires or anything like that either. It's really dry up in the hills, and if you think the smog in Beijing's pretty bad now, then imagine a big forest fire up in the mountains blowing all the smoke down. So that's pretty much why they're strict with the fire season, especially during winter when it's dry for like 3 or 4 months. Other things to know about. So there's no real trail infrastructure outside of park areas. Like around the popular parts of the wall, it's pretty easy to find your way. And other Great Wall hikes that are just outside those kind of places, you can pretty much follow the wall and it's all right. But other areas in Beijing, there's not a lot of marked trails. So you need to know where you're going. And it helps to have someone with you that knows where they're going or has been here before. And we always, before we start doing a hike, a new hike, or maybe one we haven't done for a while, we go out and check it just to make sure the trail is still okay. It's not totally overgrown with trees. It's not being washed away.
you guys are operating a full year. There are winter hikes, there are autumn hikes, there are summer hikes. How many hikes do you have by now?
We've got a repertoire of about 70 to 80 hikes. Some of them are not so good anymore because people have built roads through the middle or concreted the trails or they've built fences over the trail and that kind of thing. But we've got about 10 or 12 Great Wall hikes that repeat quite a bit because they're popular with visitors. But outside of that, we've got a big list of hikes to other places in Beijing that we do. I remember last year or the year before, I took some stats on it. So we had 50 unique hikes over the year. So if you're living in Beijing, you could have done a different hike pretty much every week.
Beijing has 6 different suburbs surrounding it. They're all within the Beijing municipality. But each one of them is entirely different in terms of terrain, views, scenery, even geology and geography. Tell us a little bit about the suburbs. Which ones are interesting? Which one is your favorite?
Okay, so the suburbs, they're all around Beijing's center. The mountains in Beijing go around from the west to the northeast. So in the west, it's Mentougou, and it's pretty big mountains out there. It's pretty hilly. Out there in those mountains, there are some small villages that are kind of on the old road through the mountains, the old highways, and which would have been the old travel routes back in the Ming Dynasty, for example. So those are the high mountains out there. Around to the northeast, there's Yanqing District. So there's a lot of mountains out there too, and there's some nice Great Wall in those mountains. Then you go around to Huairou District, and that's where some of the most famous Great Wall is, like Jianghou or Mutianyu. And then after that, you get around to Miyun, where the big reservoir is. And that's got some nice hikes up in the mountains there, and also some river hikes. So there's a nice river hike that comes down the White River, which is one of the rivers that feeds the Miyun Reservoir. So some different scenery out there, nice canyons, a lot more trees out there as well. And finally, you get around to east side, which is Pinghu District, which is mostly flat. My favorite district, I think it's my favorite district. I don't know. I think I like Yanqing District because there's some really nice long hikes out there. You can do a couple that are up to about 20 Ks following some pretty rough Great Wall out there. And also Huairou's got some nice stuff too. Like there's the Jianghou Great Wall, which is a well-known part of the wall for photographers because of the way the wall goes up and down the mountains out there. But behind the wall there, there's a big mountain called Heitor Mountain. That's about 1,500 meters above sea level. So if you get up on top of that, there's some nice meadow areas and you get views looking down on all of the Jianghou Great Wall, which is another great view to have.
You're talking about 1,000 meters and 20 kilometers hikes. Who are these hikes for? Do I need to be like a military unit veteran to deal with them, or a family with 4 kids can do?
So we've got a range of hikes, and some of them would be pretty good for a military kind of person with 15 kgs on their backs. But we rate the hikes from level 1 to level 5. We don't really have many level 1 hikes, but level 2 is pretty suitable for people that just get into hiking. And we go up to 5 plus. And 5 plus is those long ones, 20 Ks through the mountains up on the wall there. A lot of the hikes we do are pretty moderate and they're fine for people that are sporty. So if you do a bit of exercise every week or you got some hiking experience, a lot of the hikes are pretty good for you.
How many kilometers am I walking?
So say the moderately difficult level 3 plus, that between 10 and 12 Ks mostly. And as you go up through the levels, you get up to 20, 21. We've got a couple that go up to 30 Ks.
When I just started hiking around Beijing, it was only foreigners who were doing this. It was not a popular pastime for our Chinese friends. It was hard to get them to come with us. Mm-hmm. Who is hiking today?
So with us, we get a pretty good mixture. Like I've mentioned the people that are visiting Beijing and they want to see the Great Wall. We also have a group of regulars and members who are on kind of mid to long term contracts in Beijing. So those are the expats. There are a few local Chinese people that come out hiking with us as well.
How often do you hike?
Every week we've got 4 to 6 hikes. We have hikes on Wednesdays, Thursdays, Saturdays, and Sundays. We have 2 every Saturday, 2 every Sunday most of the year, and then Wednesday and Thursday. So we hike all year round through winter, summer, spring, and autumn. It's not quite as busy during summer because it's so hot, and then again in winter when it gets really cold, not so many people are interested in hiking. But if you're into hiking, you can hike year round in Beijing, and it's pretty good. It doesn't rain a whole lot, so you don't have to worry about getting wet and freezing. It's just the heat in summer that's kind of tough to deal with, so in summer we don't do the really tough hikes.
So we're going on a full day. What happens with food? I'm sure a lot of people are wondering.
So some of the hikes, you pack your own lunch and bring it along, and we find a nice spot midway. Some of the shorter hikes, we're able to go for a meal at a countryside restaurant after the hike. So get through to around about 1, 2 p.m., have a nice meal of countryside cooking, and then back to the city after that.
What should I bring to a hike like this? How do I pack?
For the day hikes, you need to bring a bag to hold enough water for the hike. So shorter hikes, maybe 3 bottles, 4 bottles of water, some food and snacks, and then maybe some warmer clothes just in case. Bring your hiking boots, That's about it, really. And we take care of everything else.
It must be expensive, because I just checked the DD app if I want to take a taxi from where we are right now in Jianguomen to get all the way to, let's say, the Great Wall in Mutianyu. That's going to cost me almost 1,000 RMB. How much is these things? Who can afford it?
So doing group hikes, we're able to do a lower price because there are more people to share the basic expenses. And for a full day, it's not too bad. Most of the hikes go between 350 and 500 a day. And if you live in Beijing, you want to hike a lot, we've got a membership, so it makes it cheaper again. You can get a discount on all the Beijing hikes.
By now you said you have almost 80 trails, but some of them get a little bit ruined. Like you said, maybe a road is built and they're not usable anymore. Maybe this area is closed. But on the other hand, there's so much more. How do you find new trails? Are you still developing new trails?
We're still developing new trails, and that's one of my favorite parts of working at Beijing Hikers, going out looking for new places. So the way that works is that we either hear about a place or we see it on a different hike and think we'd like to go check that out. It might be a good hike for our customers. So the way that works, we try and scope it out as much as possible before we go there. So we use satellite maps. We look up to see if anyone else has left a GPS trail from there and try and think of a way to do it that might make a nice hike. And then we go and check it out. Going to check it out is one of the main things you have to do before you go for a hike, in case there are some surprises. Like, so you're looking on the satellite maps, you think, it looks all right. But when you go out there, you find it's a massive steep hill or some other obstacle we can't get through, or the trail's completely blocked by vegetation and overgrown.
You're talking about maps, and this is really a big problem when you're hiking in other parts in China as well. Because hiking is not that developed here yet, hiking maps, which is something, again, very common in our countries, are basically not available.
That's right. Yeah, I think all the really good detailed topographical maps are restricted to the military or the mountaineering association, so it's tough to get a copy. So really what you have to do is go out there and check it out yourself and come back and maybe make a little sketch map you can use.
You're talking about sketch map, and your sketch maps were very, very popular in a book that is not published anymore, but old China hands who lived here for a while for sure have that book in their library at home. Tell us a little bit about this book. It's almost 15 years old now.
So the book was called Hiking Around Beijing, and the first one came out in the early 2000s. And the book was written by a few of the, it was written by Hui Lin and a few of the other hikers that were around there at the start of Beijing Hikers. So the book had, I think, maybe 20 of the hikes they used to do with little sketch maps in there that Hui Lin drew. The sketch maps are interesting because she was an art student, so it was part of her bringing the art into her work there. So with the sketch maps and some descriptions of kind of how to do the hike, how to drive to the start, you could get this book and go out there and try it out. Like, maybe it wouldn't work on your first try, but if you went back a few times, I'm sure you'd be able to find the route eventually. So that was the first edition of that, and we made a second edition in 2010. We updated it a little bit because Beijing's developing really quickly, so some of the hikes they used to do then couldn't be done anymore. We switched in some new popular hikes and updated the driving directions. And we found that those driving directions got out of date pretty quickly as well, with all the new motorways and things going in. So that book hasn't been updated.
Is this the reason why there is no third edition, simply because things change so fast here in Beijing?
I think, yeah, things change really quickly. So as soon as you write it, it's going to be out of date almost immediately.
So the best way is just to find you and let you take us on the hike.
Yeah, because we're always keeping an eye on the trails and which trails are good, which trails you can't do anymore. And when we're scheduling the hikes, we try to choose ones that are good for the time of the year. So just take a look at the website and see some nice hikes to do and sign up and try it out.
From an apartment bedroom to the living room to a real company with full staffed office that provides locals and expats alike a chance to explore the Beijing that they didn't know was out there, and creating employment opportunities for people in the rural countryside, Beijing Hikers keeps growing. We talked about you guys being here since 2001, about the book being published in 2003. This started really as a small project, helping friends find something to do on the weekend. Today you're a company. Give us a small review how this thing developed and evolved.
So it's evolved quite a lot since they first started doing it. Like back when it started, it was pretty casual. And when Hui Jie took over, she was kind of running it all out of her bedroom at home. Like when I came along with Hui Jie, there was a website with the hikes on it and a little notebook. So to book a hike, you'd look at the website and then you'd call up Hui Jie and you'd go in the little notebook. And then on the day you'd show up and she'd give you a tick in the notebook if you showed up or not, and it'd take you out on the hike. Since then it's developed a lot. like, we moved out of Huijie's bedroom into the lounge there and went through a few home office kind of spaces. And then we're onto our third office now. So it's gone from just a little casual thing into a proper company now. So Beijing Hikers right now has about 10 full-time staff. So we've got people who work just in the office. We've got guides that just do hikes. And then people that do a bit of both, like me. So most of my work is in the office, but I do a couple of hikes every week as well.
You guys are also providing employment for people out there in the suburbs who work with you.
That's right. So we employ local guides. Like I mentioned before, it's good to bring a bit of benefit to the countryside when you're doing hikes and trips instead of just walking right through someone's backyard and they're not sure what's happening. But you get to know locals, eat at their houses, and employ them to show you the way on hikes to help you clear the trail. Because after summer, it gets really bushy, so you need to chop some of the... If it's one of the wilder trails, you need to go clean it up before you go hiking through, or it's a big jungly mess.
What are the plans for the future? How are you planning to grow this thing?
The plans for the future right now is just more of the same, but better, just small improvements. I think we're doing a pretty good job as a professional company right now. There's just a lot of small things you can fix up or maybe make it a little bit better. No big plans, really.
20 years, 2 books, a growing team. Beijing Hikers is definitely a Beijing brand. And it is also the backbone of the Beijing hiking community.
Do you guys see yourselves as a Beijing brand?
Definitely. It's great to be able to make someone's life in Beijing a little bit easier and more enjoyable. Like you were saying, back in the old days, it was pretty tough to go hiking or to find fun things to do. And to be able to be part of that, it's really good, I think. We get a lot of good feedback from people who have come to Beijing and got into the hikes and become regulars with us. And they said it's one of the best things about living in Beijing for them was being able to come out hiking every weekend with us.
Do you still get these responses from expats who come here for a job and then one day discover that there are forests and mountains and rivers out there?
People say they didn't realize Beijing was like that. Like, Beijing's a massive city now, and you think in a central city it's all smoggy, a lot of high rises, a lot of concrete. But really, it's just a short drive to get out of the city and into the nature.
How are the local villagers or people out there in the suburb respond to a big group of foreigners with backpacks pushing through the wood, showing up in their field?
I think it's pretty amusing sometimes. Like, in summer especially, it's like people say, "What are you doing? It's so hot." They're always out for a walk and they're kind of shaking their heads at us going, "You guys are crazy." But they also like chatting. Like, if you can get to understand the countryside accent, but you can have a little chat with them and see what they're up to, see what they like doing, kind of get their ideas of what they think about people going hiking.
And for them, is a new thing? Like, suddenly somebody shows up?
It's hard to say. Like, some of the villages we've been hiking through for quite a while, so I'm pretty sure they're used to us now.
Oh, there are villages that you show up and it's like, "Oh yeah, you're the crazy foreigners who come from the other side of the mountain?"
Yeah, probably. There's a couple of people I'm pretty sure I recognize, and they recognize me.
So let's get practical. I'm in Beijing for 1 week, or I'm an expat family and we want to find something to do. You said 80 hikes, that's a lot. How do I find out what's on each hike, if it's interesting for me? Is it hard enough? Is it not hard enough?
So what you should do is check out our website, beijinghikers.com, and we've got all the schedule of the hikes and trips up on there. We've got a calendar page plus lists of what hikes are coming up. We've got different kinds of hikes, and there's little filters you can do, so you can check out all the great wall hikes, or if you want to hit that button and see all the not great wall hikes, you can look at the kind of level of difficulty you want to do. And then for each hike, you can click in and it's got a description of the hike. It says what to expect. It's got a description of the hiking trail, how far you've got to climb, how long the hike is, all that kind of information you can use to make a decision about which hike you're going to like. If you have questions about hikes, you can contact us through the website, send an email, or give us a call. There's also a lot of photos you can look at on the hike too. So for the hikes, we take cameras all the time. We come back and write a little trip report. So for each hike, you can have a look at photos and reports from previous visits and get a good idea of what it's really like to go out on their hike. Booking is all done through the website. There's a form, you just click the button, fill in the details and hit submit. That comes through to us and we send you an email to confirm. And then you've just got to show up on time on the day with your hiking boots and you'll go.
And you mentioned that if I like it and I enjoy it, I want to make it my regular weekend exercise, there is a membership.
Yep. And if you're in Beijing and you want to do a lot of hiking, the membership makes sense. It's $300 a year, and after you renew it once, you become a lifetime member. So as part of the membership, you get a 10% discount on the hikes in Beijing and a 5% discount on the trips we do to other places in China, which is a pretty good deal. As well as that, you get a little badge, you get a logbook. So every time you come on a hike or trip, we write it in your logbook and give you a stamp. And every 10 stamps, you get another discount of $350, so you can get a free hike pretty much after your 10th hike. So if you're going to be hiking a lot, membership's pretty good. Makes it cheaper again to come and join and be part of the Beijing Hikers family.
And if we're a group of friends and we want our own private hike, is that doable?
Sure. We organize a lot of private hikes. There's a page on the website for that as well. The private hikes are more expensive because it's fewer people to share the main expenses, which are the drivers, transportation, and guides. But we can do that as well. And with private hikes, you can say when you want to go, you say where you want to go, what you want to do. We can all customize that for you. So if you want to do a Great Wall hike, we can do that. If you want to do a not Great Wall hike and visit some villages and that kind of thing, we can organize that for you as well. And if you're looking for something interesting for your office group to do, we can organize trips for office groups too. Those are pretty popular because we can organize a little bit of a team building element to it, as well as include a big meal for the group after the hike.
So all the information, all the pictures, and you can also check out some of this information and a lot of the pictures on our official WeChat account, FM Lifestyle, as well as our website, www.am774.com. This is all the time we have for today's show. I am Gail, this is FM Lifestyle, and we'll be back with you again, same time, same place, tomorrow.